the amount of shots that the Bruins had. I'm surprised Khudobin didn't pick up the net and throw it at somebody at some point.
Hey now, boys and girls, welcome into another episode of the Pucknologist here on Teal Town USA, show number 32. That's right, like Wall, Arturs, Irving. It's the only 32 I acknowledge when it comes to the Sharks. As always, I'm your host, AJ underscore Strong on the Twitter and Instagram. And with me, as always, we have Rocket Backhander.
Hey, I'm that weird dream that you can't shake off for about 3-4 days. It kind of feels weird. Rocket Backhander, how you doing?
Oh, she's the dream, boys and girls. And on the other end, the nightmare that is Hockey Jerk.
Alex Stalock, Claude Lemieux, 32.
I told you I don't acknowledge those. I just don't. So with this one, kids, right now, the Sharks have amassed themselves a record of 11-8-2, good for a whopping 24 points. Sharks have fallen to fifth in the division since the last time we spoke to you, but only 5 points out from first place. The Sharks have gone 1-2-2 over their last five, picking up losses versus the Florida Panthers, the Boston Bruins, two overtime losses versus the Ducks in a shootout, versus the Golden Knights in regulation, or I should say overtime, not a shootout. And I can already feel the hashtag. It's not going to be home and home anymore. It's going to be Hockey Jerk saying, what's the difference between an overtime and a shootout? And they picked up a singular win versus Arizona, the worst team in the NHL. So, oh, good for you.
Let me tell you the difference between overtime and a shootout. One is a sport. One is a joke. I like jokes. I like sports.
No, one is a competition. One is an exhibition for the most part.
There you go.
Yeah.
So let's get into it. The first game that the Sharks played since we last left you versus the Florida Panthers. Luongo gets his first career shutout as the Sharks drop this one 2-0 at the Tank. 0-for-2 on the power play, 1-for-1 on the PK. So that continued to where, you know, where the Sharks have pretty much left off. The Sharks had 2 goals overturned in this one after challenges. It was a slapper from Heat at the blue line that just came out a scotch from the paint. And speaking of paint, Marc-Edouard Vlasic, totally in the paint, puts in the goal, was rather salty in the post game after this one because that was a ridiculous challenge. The Sharks, 35 shots on goal, Florida only 28. And I think the story of this game, I think we can all agree, Rocket, was Haley getting a video montage, and we weren't sure what would last longer, the video montage or his time on ice.
Aww, I'm really glad that they did a video montage because he was a big part not only of the Sharks, but the Barracuda, too. He played a little bit of ice time in both, if I'm not mistaken. I might be.
First Barracuda goal in franchise history.
There you go. See? So he is actually an important part of this.
Hashtag legend.
you could say that. Michael Haley's name will forever be woven into the fabric of Sharks history. You can put it that way.
Hey now. So this Florida game was a, we try to be family friendly, so I guess an S show. I don't know. It wasn't good. Again, I have to completely just bang the drum on this one. Luongo, first career shutout. Hockey Jerk, this Florida game. The Sharks were bad and they should feel bad.
Absolutely. When you consider that Florida is one of the worst teams in the Eastern Conference. But as we've seen, you go back to his time with Vancouver, excuse me. Roberto Luongo liked playing against the Sharks. He usually, of all teams in the NHL, the Sharks are the one that he's dialed in for the most. And, you know, we have a 5-game series in 2011 that proves that. I'm not really surprised, only because I don't remember if I said it on air or to myself off air, but Florida, as bad as they are this year, generally give us trouble. And we saw that the last time the Sharks played the Panthers in San Jose last year. If you recall, they were down by two, and Pavelski freaking miracled his way to a tie game. And for whatever reason, it's just a struggle playing the Panthers. And I'm really glad that we only have to see them one more time, and it's in Florida, where I feel like the Sharks generally play very well.
Yeah, and that's coming up in a short week, hot minute.
Oh, God. Kudos to Haley for not getting into a fight with anybody either. Really, the first Barracuda goal?
Yep.
Wow.
I was actually shocked that Reimer didn't get the start in this one, to be quite honest with you. I mean, right? So after the Sharks pick up that loss from the Florida Panthers, they welcome the Boston Bruins and pick up a 3-1 loss, marking just the second time in November that the Sharks were able to tally 3 goals. In this one, Dell got the start. The Sharks give another rookie, Schilleric, his first NHL goal. Tell me if you've heard that before. And of course, Heinen, who potted his first 2 in the NHL when the Sharks were at Boston just a few weeks ago, of course, scored again. However, Danny O'Regan gets the call, gets his first start, and gets an assist. The Sharks go 0-for-3 on the power play, 1-for-1 on the PK. And again, the Sharks overload the shot clock, 37 shots on goal, Boston 20 shots on goal. And Hockey Jerk in this one, I think we're all just shocked that Khudobin could play the entire game without knocking the net off again.
Yeah, especially when you consider that the Sharks nearly doubled the amount of shots that the Bruins had. I'm surprised Khudobin didn't pick up the net and throw it at somebody at some point.
Well, maybe only Jason Quick can do that.
Who?
Jonathan Quick, sorry. I've been watching a lot of different sports lately. Jonathan Quick,
oh,
my
no.
bad. I was looking, I was like cross section between like Jason Amir, Jonathan Quick. Sorry.
But this game was interesting. Yes, the Sharks lost. I don't think it was the worst game they've ever played, especially when you consider O'Regan comes back into the fold after his quick stint last year and, you know, all things considered, impresses. You know, he makes the beautiful, beautiful cross-crease pass to Timo Meier for the Sharks' only goal of the game. And in general, he looked like, you know, his game from the Barracuda to the NHL translated very well. He was strong on the puck. He was smart with what he did with the puck. And ultimately, he got him a very nice primary assist. And I look at this, my run sheet here, and it says 0-for-3 on the power play, 1-for-1 on the penalty kill. I mean, same old, same old. You know what I mean? We said last week the Sharks need to figure it out on the power play side of things, and evidently they have not. So
I would absolutely agree. I mean, it's the second consecutive game there after Florida, now Boston, where no power play goals, but no power play goals against allowed, Rocket.
Yeah, there was – I'm going to completely take this off in a left-hand turn because I want to talk about something here. There were some very suspect non-calls in this game. Very, very lopsided officiating, and I will say that Sharks may have lost the game, but the referees lost the game too. And I was saying this beforehand, this team has enough issues on its own. You know, it needs production, offensive production. It doesn't need this whole – refereeing horse manure clogging up our already myriad problems. I just want to pick up a net and throw it. I'm so angry.
I feel like that's going to be something that we go to off and on throughout the rest of the show today. So after picking up that loss from the Bruins, the Sharks then welcome the Ducks. Those damn Ducks. To finish off this 3-game homestand, the Sharks lose 3-2 in an overtime shootout. O'Regan, in his second straight game, gets another assist. But this one was a scotch different because the Sharks got themselves a power play goal. Of course, it was not enough. They did go 2-for-2 on the PK. Again, another wild one with shots on goal. San Jose over Anaheim, 42-30, and That really is a harbinger of what is going on with Anaheim this season. They are giving up a ton of shots. I mean, Rocket, it's ridiculous. I think right now they might even lead the league in shots allowed.
Well, maybe they like... Look, I like a nice lemon drop as much as anybody else does. Sometimes a fuzzy navel is really good. Just... I love shots. Shots are great. And if you can handle it, take all the shots you can.
Absolutely. I'm down with that. I prefer the teal colored time. But, this one ends in a 9-round shootout. This time, PDB actually putting Donskoy in the top three of shooters rather than, you know, waiting till like the sixth round. Preferring to put Burns and Heat and two other defensemen before Donskoy, but so the Sharks get their second power play in the month of November, the second power play goal, I should say, but a 9-round shootout. But I felt like the Sharks, they should have been able to win this one in regulation.
Yeah, I thought they should have too. They, it was just like the game against the Ducks that the Sharks played, you know, a week and a half ago or whenever it was. You know, they started off really slow and then, you know, got things turned back around and, in my eyes, took advantage of the depleted roster that the Ducks are dealing with. And then whatever, you know, you want to call it, the 3-on-3, the bad eyes, who cares? You know, the Sharks get into the extra time and just can't put it away. And I mean, you could argue that the selected shooters for the shootout didn't get the job done, but, you know, from what I saw with Martin Jones, and this has kind of been a theme for the whole season, is he has these moments where he lets in these very questionable goals that it's just really annoying to see. And it, as much as I like Martin Jones and I think he's the best goalie the Sharks have ever had, he still makes these very allows these very questionable goals, and it's frustrating to watch when you know that he can be better.
Hey, I have a question.
I have an answer.
At what point, how many rounds does the shootout need to go where they just get the goalies to line up at the paint, and then when the referee blows the whistle, they just charge it straight at each other and try to meet at center ice and try to joust each other with their paddles?
Like, was that? It was probably like the 30th round.
Well, I know
there should happen.
There was one shootout, I don't know if it was last year or 2 years ago, where they went through the whole roster on both sides, so they had to start from the top of the order again.
Oh my god. That wasn't the Sharks though.
No, I believe it was the Florida Panthers and somebody else.
Oh my god.
No. Yeah, because I would have remembered that if that was the Sharks.
Can we just Rochambeau at this point?
Yeah, right? Or it would be just putting the goalies at center ice, whichever goalie wins a face-off with those fat paddles.
In keeping with the theme of changing up the shootout, I was really hoping that when Tim Head got his shot, the referee would have put the puck on the blue line instead of the face-off circle and then let Head skate in and just bomb it.
Oh, that would have been a... Tim Head did get a goal in the shootout on that one. But yes, I think that would be great, dude, if all defensemen had to shoot from the blue line. Oh my god, that would be fantastic. Just slappers. That would be awesome. So after that, the Sharks go on to face the Arizona Desert Dogs. Yes, even if you listen to this on a podcast, we're still playing the drinking game. The Sharks get their one and only victory over the last five games, going 3-1 over the Desert Dogs. The fun
What drink do you have for this game?
Whichever one you prefer, as long as it does include a scotch of alcohol.
I was gonna say I'm drinking a to be named cola product. Whoever wants to throw some money my way,
right? The fun about this one, the Sharks come into this on a three-game losing streak. Arizona, the worst team in hockey, comes in on a three-game winning streak. So that was a little interesting. The Sharks put up 3 goals in this one, just the second time in November, although the third goal was an empty netter from Joel Ward. Sharks, again, tell me if you've heard this before, 0-for on the power play, perfect on the PK. Hey, but this is the one that kind of sticks with me because Arizona, worst team in the league, and if you look at the stat line, shots on goal nearly even. Coyotes get 27 to 26. The Yotes, 57% in the circle. Hits 18 for 18. Blocks, 11 Coyotes, 16 Sharks. Giveaways, 5-5. I mean, a very, very even game when you look at the stat sheet, Rocket. But how did the Sharks just play that poorly against the worst team? Or I shouldn't say that poorly. They did get the win, but play just so-so against the worst team in the NHL.
It's a system. They've always kind of had a weird thing with the Coyote system, and it's Coyotes still aren't. They have bits of talent hither and thither, but they are not a comprehensive as a whole playoff team yet, as of yet. So they don't play that style of hockey, you know?
Hockey it's, jerk.
Yeah. It's tough.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off, Rock.
It's okay. You can cut me off. Chop, chop. I get it.
Okay, jerk. Hurry the hell up. What do you have to say?
And we're done.
So.
All right. Thank you.
Is this game indicative of the... I should probably rephrase that. Does this show that the Coyotes are better than they actually are, or does it show that the Sharks are worse than they actually are? Because I've been, since day one, of the belief that the Coyotes are better than their record indicates.
Oh, we know.
I think you could say, all I'm saying, Clayton Keller, possible rookie of the year, they, you know, pick up a legitimate first line center, pick up a legitimate starting goalie, a legitimate top four defenseman. I mean, on paper, and I hate to use the term on paper, but this team should be better than their roster says, or their record says, excuse me. And I think the opposite could be said of the Sharks, where, you know, the Sharks have a lot of budding young talent and they've got these above average veterans, but it seems like only 3 players on the Sharks ever do anything.
Hey now.
So.
Yeah. So after leaving the desert, after playing the Dogs, the Sharks spend Thanksgiving in the City of Lights, Sin City. Boy, it makes you wonder, was there a team curfew or anything? Because they flew into Vegas. It's a very short jaunt from Arizona to Las Vegas. So makes you wonder, was there any shenanigans happening Wednesday night or Thursday after team practice, team meal, what have you? Makes you wonder. I'm just saying. So the Sharks then face the Golden Knights on Black Friday, pick up a 5-4 overtime loss. Boy, there's a lot to unpack in this one. Let me just run this down real fast. The Sharks, this is their 1,000th road game in franchise history. Kind of a, I guess, maybe a fun little kind of trivia question that, you know, what franchise did the Sharks face where they were playing their 1,000th road game, but it was also the first time they had ever faced a franchise? So, fun trivia question down the line if you want to win a drink. This is the first game ever against the Vegas Golden Knights. Of course, there's no loss. So, the Jose Sharks, for the first time, faced the Vegas Golden Knights, who are tops in the Pacific right now. Although, if you look around the league, Vegas wouldn't even crack the top 3 in the Central. The Sharks, this was a bad game, and then it got better, and then it got bad. And some of it had to do with the Sharks. Some of it had to do with the, shall we say, the impression of trying to ref in the NHL. Sharks only get 2 shots on goal for the first 13 to 14 minutes of this game. During that span, Bodker gets a breakaway early.
Yeah.
And absolutely craps the bed on it. I mean, was like Ehrhoff proportions. And we know that Rocket loves to discuss giving somebody their first NHL goal. And in this one, Theodore, Shea Theodore. I almost said Jose Theodore. Shea,
oh, God.
Shea Theodore. Boy, that would have been something if Jose Theodore would have got Jose Theodore. No, Shea Theodore gets his first NHL goal as a Golden Knight.
There you go. Thank you. Right.
Yeah. Jones lets in two goals in this first period, both short side high snipe shots. Theodore and real deal James Neal getting on the board of both of those. Those, I don't know why Jones isn't hugging the post a little harder in those. And then the Golden Knights scored 10 seconds into the second on the power play, and then Jones was yanked for, dude, you're getting Adele. The Sharks' number one PK gives up two power play goals just in the first 60 minutes and 10 seconds of this. But Brent Burns, you remember him, right? He used to score goals every once in a while. He finally got one, the 21st game of the season into this one. If you prorate that, Burns looking at getting four goals on the season. And if you, you know, pay that out by contract, dude getting $8 million a year. So Burns got his first $2 million goal in this one. And David Perron got taken out sometime in the second period. Not sure what happened to him, but he didn't play the third at all. And this was quite possibly some of the worst officiating ever, where the Sharks get their fourth goal in a week taken away from them. This one by Couture. And, I mean, Rocket, out of the four goals that they've had taken away in the last week of hockey, this has to be the worst one, like the most embarrassing for the NHL.
This game had some really shady calls in it, and it wouldn't surprise me if this were the first crack in NHL officiating. You know, like the guys in Las Vegas are known to take an envelope or two. There's a lot of money to be made out there in sports betting.
That's what I'm saying. I was just kind of like, geez, did the refs like all blow their parlays in the NFL the day before on Thanksgiving and say, oh, you know what? We're going to make it up today in this one.
That took an envelope. They're going to retire early. Yeah. This was a tough game. It was, but at the same time, I mean, I've been watching Vegas Knights play hockey against some other teams and spank them soundly all season, and it's been sort of like, okay, so maybe they are actually a legit contender here. I can't wait for them to meet Tampa. I cannot wait for that matchup.
That actually should be a great game. I hope that's on an NBC rivalry night, because that would be such a great rivalry game, right?
Yes.
So, Hockey Jerk, I mean, I don't know if that's one of the worst displays of officiating you've ever seen, but that one where they called the goal from Couture, which would have been the go-ahead goal. I mean, we do have to preface it. The Knights got a 4-1 lead, and let's be honest, the Sharks have had a very difficult time getting three goals this season, much less four. They, you know,
the Sharks have had trouble scoring two goals. Let's be real here.
Yeah. So for the Sharks to come back and score three straight goals to tie this, then to get what looked to be the go-ahead goal taken away from them in what was just a ridiculous call. I mean, it was kind of like, oh, no, we're going to take this one away because Donskoy's skate was, it grazed Legacy's. I'm sorry. It was. Oh, and am I pronouncing Legacy correct? Because Hetty and Randy were pronouncing it not necessarily Legacy.
I read it as Legace, but I think that's wrong.
Okay, yeah, they might have been saying Legace. I don't know. I look at it and I just remember Manny Legacy from all those years. So I'm just going, oh, Legacy.
The legacy of Legacy has lived on.
Yes, and the funniest part too is on the Twitter machine, good friend of the show at Netich putting, if the Sharks don't do well in this game, does that hurt the Sharks' legacy? No.
Oh God.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to put in the little sounder from an earlier show where Hockey Jerk goes, oh my God, that pun. Okay.
This Rocket mentioned a very interesting point that I want to touch on about how, it seems like all year Vegas has been really stomping out certain teams. Like I can recall a game against the Blackhawks. I can recall a game against, I believe, the St. Louis Blues as well.
And not and no shrinking violets in the NHL. Those are good teams.
Right, exactly. I mean, St. Louis is the best team in the Western Conference. And, I think when you consider that they were down by 3 goals, when you consider that they were able to, come back and tie the game, and I mean, the fact that the Sharks were resilient enough to come back from down 3 goals, that's really encouraging to see, obviously. But I still think the Sharks should consider themselves lucky that they totally didn't get totally stomped out because, like I said, Vegas has decimated better teams than the Sharks this year. And so I think, honestly, there were parts of that game that I recall and make me think, wow, the Sharks should be lucky that they got 1 point here.
True.
Absolutely. And also put it on too that the Sharks scored those three consecutive goals, kind of answering the bell after being down 4-1 after Jones was pulled, which clearly sent meant to be a message sent to the Sharks. Jones only getting pulled for his third time this season. I think that was a message sent. And then, of course, Vegas playing chess, saying, "Oh, you're going to pull your goalie? We can do that too." So they pulled Lagasse and put in Subban, and clearly that worked for him. I mean, Subban, a whopping 3 shots that he faced, stopped all three of
What a guy.
Well, you know how that curse goes, that that we can't face a backup goalie, so if we're facing the backup of the backup, it's just as bad.
Right? I think they're just padding his stats to trade him once Fleury comes back. They
No,
said,
I
"You've
think they're
all."
gonna keep them all on a special reserve. Because they're just gonna keep going down in rotation.
Say, "I bet you if we put in Subban right now, I bet you we can get him 1,000 save percentage on this one. So that'd be
So,
perfect."
AJ, question for you.
Answer for you.
Was Bodker's goal on anything today? Was it on anything?
I want to say it might have been on a power play, but it's hard for me to believe it. It's just,
You're correct, sir. It was on the power play.
yeah. Honestly, I don't know what to be more surprised about: the fact that Botker got a goal in this one, that it was on the power play, or that Burns finally got a goal. I'm not sure what to be more surprised about. If you would have asked anybody, let's be honest, if you would have asked anybody, week one of hockey. You say, "You know what? After thanks at the Thanksgiving marker, 20 games in, quarter pole, who has the most goals? Tierney, Botker, or Burns?" I'm thinking that those names are going to be inverted. You're going to say, "Well, okay, Burns number one, maybe Botker two, Tierney three." Instead, it's Tierney, Botker, Burns. So, oh, yeah.
This team.
Botker, of course, on pace right now to score a whopping 16 goals. I think that's a far cry from the 270 that Hockey Jerk predicted early in the
You
year.
know what? I'm gonna shoot myself in the foot right now. But actually, if doing some math, including tonight's game, he's on pace for 11.7 goals.
Wow.
And I do believe your prediction was somewhere in the neighborhood of twice that. So
I said 20, I said 25, I said 28, I
you
said
said
90, I
22.4
think you said
said
23.
22.4, I said 97 and a half. I mean, there's still time,
This is just
there's
Hockey Jerk. Speaking of Vegas, that's Hockey Jerk hedging his bets, people.
Well, I mean, that's how you do it, is if you bet on everything, then you can't lose.
Oh my. So with that, after this just embarrassing, abysmal, abhorrent display of NHL officiating, we move on to Shark Bites. And so right now the Sharks 3 for 30 on the power play in the month of November, good for
Jesus.
10%. Yeah, that's just fantastic. We're a quarter way into the season now. The Sharks in the month of November, also, fun fact, have the same amount of power play goals as they have shorthanded goals. So, Rocket, DeMelo has seen a couple games, even though he was playing well. We've seen how the Sharks are having a lot of difficulty scoring goals. Do you think that DeMelo was in there as kind of a showcase tonight? Or do you think, kind of second half of that question, do you think Doug Wilson pulls the trigger on something between now and the new year?
I don't think between now and the new year, no. I think he would have done it by now.
Hockey jerk? And not that there's like a whole lot to go after. I mean, Evander Kane seems to be number one on everybody's list, but
yeah, I it's a tough one. Yes, I think DeMelo is being shown, but you can make the argument that everybody on the team is being shown because everybody on the team is being shown. That's why they have scouts and, you know, seating charts for the press room, press level, and you see all the time, you know, oh, so and so, who's the AGM of this team, is here tonight. And it's like, well, why? His team plays across the country, you know, tomorrow. And so I think it's just a matter of getting everybody, keeping everybody fresh, getting everybody a look. And like you said, 3 for 30 on the power play in the month of November. And, you know, Dylan DeMelo is known for being the second power play unit kind of guy. So honestly, it could be just a thing of desperation from the Sharks to try and get something going, you know. And I agree with Rocket. I don't think a trade happens by the end of the new year. End of the new year, Jesus. The end of this year. But I don't think it's for the same reason in that it was going to happen already. I think that we're not going to see a trade by January because, you know, it's too early. I mean, there's still, we've seen teams who were further off later in the season that turn it around. And so I think if anything, I think the Sharks have until the new year to turn things around. And if they don't, then I think, you know, Doug Wilson and staff will go from there.
Well, you say, oh, maybe it's too early to make a deal or whatnot, but we've just seen that the LA Kings acquired former Shark fan, you know, just a speeder, Torrey Mitchell.
Well, I don't mean it's too
also early. Also known as Mikhail Bodker 1.0.
I don't mean that it's too early to make a deal. I just mean it's too early. Like, a deal like that is fine, but I just think it's too early to make a deal that will drastically change your team without giving them at least half a season to show whether or not they can figure it out.
That's fair. I mean, I could see potentially that. Yeah, I could see what you think, giving him till maybe. Now, remember, the Sharks, I said New Year's, I said 2018, but the Sharks bye week starts very soon after the new year. I think it's like a week into the new year, then they have their bye week between the 7th and the 13th of January. So there's there, and then, of course, there's not a couple weeks after that, the All-Star break. Maybe we see something happen during that bye week or something, but I think the Sharks are going to have to take stock of what they have and decide, are we going to do that thing where Doug Wilson invokes the R word again?
The Sharks are fortunate enough to be in a position, and I feel like I've said this so many times over the last couple of years, where they are, I think they're a good enough team to make the playoffs when you consider that the Pacific Division, generally speaking, sucks. But yes, they're also in a position where they've got spare parts that they can move on from. I mean, Dylan DeMelo, Joel Ward, Yannick Hansen, these guys are not crucial to the long-term success of the team.
When you Mikhail Bodker.
when you, I'm just talking about guys who are pending on restricted free agents.
Well, okay, Joe Thornton.
Right. Well, are you going to tell me Joe Thornton is not crucial to the long-term success of the team?
Yes, I am.
Long-term success?
Yeah, long-term. Dude, okay, I think, honestly, if I'm in Vegas, as the Sharks are, in fact, it makes me want to text somebody. Maybe I can, like, text Hurdle or something and say, hey, can you do me a favor? Put down a hundy that says Thornton is not playing in teal next season?
Well, okay, maybe long term is not the right. I, in saying long term, I was meaning.
Well, words matter, bro. What are you trying to
Deeply
say?
influential.
I just mean, like I said, long term is not the right word. I guess I just mean for this year, you know, like you can have Tim Heed or Joakim Ryan step in for Dylan DeMello. You can have,
Or
you
Paul
know,
Martin.
or Paul Martin. You can have a Marcus Sorensen, a Danny O'Regan, a Kevin LeBanc, you know, even a Barkley Goodrow when he's healthy. You can have these guys step in for Yannick Hansen, especially, you know, step in for Joel Ward. They're at worst, they're gonna bring as much of an impact as these guys did, you know. And the whole theme for this season is what do we have in the young guys? And you're running in the complete opposite direction when you scratch, you know, Kevin LeBanc, who has shown to have an underrated offensive awareness and skill with the puck, in favor of Yannick Hansen, who I've referred to as the Allen wrench of the team. When you think about buying a piece of furniture from IKEA, what do you do with the Allen wrench? You toss it and you get a real screw gun.
An amazing analogy. Rocket, are you a little surprised that we have? I mean, Jerk brought up a great name that we heard a lot of good things about towards the end of last season in the playoffs. Are you surprised when you've seen all the call-ups, whether it's been LeBanc, Meyer, Carpenter, and not necessarily saying those are call-ups, but they have been sent down, and O'Regan. Are you a little surprised that we haven't seen Sorensen yet, considering the Sharks' difficulty scoring?
Ooh, I don't know. Is this, where's his contract at? Is it a two-way this year?
Well, Sorensen, he doesn't have to go through waivers to come up or go down, but I think that's a product of his play with the Barracuda because he hasn't really been tearing it apart.
God. Well, there's your answer.
There you go. Okay, so let's wrap up Shark Bites. I just feel like the Sharks are kind of a little in limbo. And if you look at the history of this team, under Doug Wilson's tenure, there have been three kind of blockbuster moves that he's done. It's been Sturm, Stewart, and Primo for Thornton. It's been what, Ty Wissert, Matt Carl, and like two picks for Boyle and Lukowich. And then, of course, a number one pick, Devin Setoguchi, and prospect Charlie Coyle to acquire Brent Burns. Maybe if you kind of spread those out, that Doug Wilson's been around, running this team now for what, about 15 years,
Yeah,
that.
next year is 15.
Yeah, okay. So maybe he's good for one every 4 years, and maybe he's due to throw another blockbuster on the flyer. So we shall see. And with that, we move on to three stars of the week, or what we like to call.
Oh, good for you.
And of course, we always start with Hockey Jerk and your third star.
My third star is Aaron Dell, because he has shown in
Well,
his very.
let's preface that. Dell got a start this week versus the Bruins and came in versus the Golden Knights 10 seconds into the second period versus the Golden Knights. So go ahead.
Aaron Dell is my third star because, you know, he is a backup only by placement in the roster. In terms of skill level, he could probably start, you know, probably not as much as a legitimate starter, but like if there was a situation where he was forced to start a bunch of games, I don't think he would necessarily have a problem with that. I mean, for all that's talked about small sample size, you know, we're going on 2 seasons now where he's put up pretty good numbers. I think we can stop talking about small sample size.
Yes.
And not only that, but I mentioned earlier about Martin Jones letting in some questionable goals. I don't really see Aaron Dell let in a whole lot of questionable goals. Like the ones that he lets in are usually because he got beat.
Okay. So you have to play a game tomorrow. You have two choices, Dell or Niemi. Who are you going with?
Aaron Dell.
There you go. My third star of the week is Chance the Rapper.
Oh God!
And the reason being,
can we stop talking about this?
Oh no, it's fantastic.
It's not funny at all.
It is hysterical.
I did not think it was funny.
Oh my God, it was hysterical because it goes to prove the point, and this is Saturday Night Live has done this more than once, where they kind of poke fun at, you know, sports, quote unquote, sports reporting. A skit that they did maybe 6-7 years ago. I forget the name of the main cast member's name. I think he was only there for a year, but the other person in the skit was Gwyneth Paltrow. And if you get the chance to go look it up, go for it. Because it's very funny how if you watch your local news, especially in California, where there's a large Hispanic population, that you'll hear somebody speaking about the news that day, but when they have to say a Hispanic name, all of a sudden their accent kicks in. It's like, yeah, you know, today we were driving down the El Camino, and you know, or something like the San Jose. All this, like, they never
get a burrito.
Yes, exactly. And so it was kind of a takeoff on that, where they inverted it, which I thought was hysterical, where it was. They were on ESPN Deportes, the Spanish version of ESPN, and they were calling a basketball game, and it was, they're sitting there saying, you know, y después la cuenta, por favor, and boom, shakalaka. I mean, it was very funny, and they really, like, threw on a thick American accent on that. So with this one, Chance the Rapper being the, you know, the African-American basketball call guy, and then having no idea about hockey, hysterical bit. And the fact that Brody did a little kind of hit on it his last pregame, postgame, and we even heard tonight, we're recording this after the Golden Knights game, even Randy Hahn did a little, how you gonna do that hockey? Or, you know, what was it?
Yeah, that's how hysterical it was, AJ. You can't even remember it.
No, because there was like three funny lines. It was like, you know, let's do that hockey. How you gonna do that hockey? That's what's up. So anyway, Chance the Rapper, SNL, that whole bit was hysterical. And the fact that Brody and, I mean, Randy, everybody, a lot of guys picked up on it. It was very funny. So anyway. Rocket, your third. Dilly Dilly.
No, my third's going to go to Andy Niemi. Yeah.
Wait, what?
Yeah, no, because he was in Nets and the Canadians lost, so. Why not?
Oh, my God. That's awesome. So we go to the second star. And my second star for the week are the NHL refs. You've taken 4 goals away from the Sharks. Dilly dilly to you, good sirs. I don't know how you're pulling that off, but you get my second star because, wow. Rocket, your second.
My second star is the company that services the refrigerators, the little freezers, in the penalty box where they keep the extra pucks. You guys do a great job. You guys are on point with your little frozen pucks. Everything is always ice cold. Keep it up.
Digging into the barrel this week to find find any stars. Hockey Jerk, your second of the week.
My second of the week is Danny O'Regan, because he has made the transition from the AHL to the NHL look seamlessly, despite
being a really small guy.
AJ, you just proved my point, my friend.
He's not Sean Doogie small.
I was just going to say, despite his wrongful mentioning of his small stature, you know, this is a guy who was, you know, nearly point per game in the AHL and generally looked like he was better than everybody in that league as a rookie. And so, you know, like I said, he's made the seamless transition to the Sharks. And he, like I said earlier, he has looked better than most of the guys who are already here. He's already been trusted to take face off and play on the power play. So doing something right there. And maybe Yannick Hansen grips the stick a little tighter now.
See, this is the whole thing, is I don't know at this point if O'Regan getting these looks speaks more to how he's done so far this season, or does it speak more to how poorly the Sharks have started this season? You know, maybe
both.
Two things. Yeah, exactly. Maybe two things can be equally true. So we move on to the first star, and we go to Rocket, and based on her previous two choices, I can't wait to hear what the number one is.
All right. So this is a locals only thing. You know that guy who looks like he should be a roadie for the Grateful Dead who drives a Zamboni sometimes?
For the Sharks?
Yeah.
All right.
It's funny. I know who you're talking about.
Yeah. I know you. Yeah, okay. I told you this is a locals only thing. That guy. Because he's always on his game.
You know what I'm talking about? That guy.
No, and what's funny is there's like six people out there who will listen to this podcast and be like, yeah, that guy, he totally looks like he'd party with Jerry Garcia. Yeah.
If he was still with us. Hockey Jerk, you're number one.
My number one star is the NHL scorekeeper who got tagged in the face with a Nazem Kadri stick a few days ago. Because speaking as somebody who's been hit in the face with a hockey stick before, it doesn't feel good. And he looked pissed, and he got in Nazem Kadri's face too. But you know what? Like, you got to be aware of your surroundings. You know, you can't just go swinging your stick because something doesn't go your way. So I think good on that guy for A, taking it like a champ, and B, making a point to say, hey, don't be a moron.
Oh, hey now. And my number one star was going to go to Jonas Donskoy for two goals and two assists over the last week of hockey. But
it's too easy, though.
Yeah, exactly. So my number one star, give me a minute to explain why. My number one star this week is going to SJ Sharkey. And the reason why this is happening is because I saw Sharkey towards the, I want to say about 4 or 5 minutes left at the end of the first period with Anaheim, and he was in the section next to me. And for those of you who don't know, if you go to the games, you do have the opportunity online to purchase a Sharkeygram. And so I saw Shark. I did not pre-purchase one of these. You're supposed to do it like a couple days in advance. And I saw Sharky, and so I just said, hey, and I pulled out a $100 bill because the Sharkeygrams are like $100, $120. I showed him the $100 and I said, if you bring me back a Sharkeygram, this $100 is yours. And he went into my ear and he went, because Sharky doesn't talk. So I figured, okay, you know, he was like, yeah, that's good for you. That he wasn't coming back is basically what I'm trying to say. That's what I had figured. So second period goes by, third period goes by. We're about 12 minutes into the third period. And then I get a text from my wife who was not feeling well. She said, if you could come home early, I'd appreciate it. And I said, okay, no problem. Game wasn't going that well at that point. And then, of course, it ended up going to a shootout. But what I also came to find is that the person that I went to the game with literally texted me a photo of Sharky sitting in my seat with a bag of stuff when I am just leaving the parking lot. Aww. So, Sharky, you the real MVP. I owe you, bro. Wow, do I owe you. So, anyway, so Sharky, you the real MVP. You know my number one star of the week. And if you were one of our three stars of the week.
Oh, good for you.
It's that time that we all kind of, we just wind it down a little bit, kind of look around the league and just say. And I got to be honest with you people, I haven't been paying attention. It's Thanksgiving. It's holiday weekend. People are off doing their own thing. So I'm just going to turn it to my beautiful panelists. Rocket, this week, anything that has stood out to you from around the NHL, even if it's a fun little story from your new neck of the woods?
Okay. Well, it's not from my neck of the woods, but I noticed that player safety's been sort of busy lately. What's his name? Matt Tkachuk has been doing Matt Tkachuk things, and he got, who was it? It was some guy from
Tkachuk a puck.
Was it the Canadians? Or anyway, he got some guy to come back on the ice after he was leaving after a game.
Oh, the Detroit game.
Yeah, it was Detroit. That's right. I knew it was a red team. And so that was an automatic 10-game suspension for that guy. Matt Tkachuk, I think, got a game. Radko Gudas got 10 games for spearing a guy in the face. You know, so it's there's there's been a lot of questionable choices made by players out there. That's all I pay attention to is the bad hits. That's it. That's really all. I'm a sucker for a bad hit.
Yeah, who was that guy who came back?
It was Luke Witkowski.
Yeah, I knew it started with the. Oh man, yeah, that was and he was off the ice for what, like all of 5 seconds. It's not like he went all the way into the locker room and came back out.
Yeah, it's not like he already had like his suit back on.
Now that would have been awesome.
He comes back out, grabs the net, throws it at him.
Good callback. Hockey Jerk, anything from around the league that you would like to point out to the good people?
Where's Puck Guy and Gentry? I need to rant about my fantasy team.
we'll get to,
we'll get to Freak Out.
Yeah, Fantasy Freak Out and Jersey Jargon at another time.
She's Fantasy After Dark. They're totally misleading.
Taylor Hall, who was deemed to be the problem in Edmonton, has 24 points in 22 games this year. So,
have fun with that, T-Mac.
Yep, there you go. I hope you like a slightly used Adam Larson. James the Real Deal Neal is on pace for 47 goals, which A, would be the most he's ever scored, but B, would also keep him at a perfect 11 for 11 in terms of seasons where he scores 20 or more goals. And the LA Kings have activated Marian Gaborik off the injured reserve, so it's only a matter of time before he's back on the injured reserve because he can't stay healthy.
Wow.
Hey, now.
That's all I got for you.
All right, so we move on to previews and predictions. So between now and the next time we talk to you, the Sharks will be at home at the SAP Center versus the Winnipeg Jets, who are currently second in the Central, second in the West. Then they will go on their 4-game roadie, but we're only going to talk about 3 of them because hopefully we'll talk to you before the end of that, at Philadelphia, who are last in the Metropolitan Division. Then they go down to Florida, who are second to last in the Atlantic. But then the number one team in all of NHL, a rematch versus the Tampa Bay Lightning. So, Rocket, what say you over those 4 games where they play 2 of the top teams in the league and 2 of the bottom feeders?
What was that second bottom feeder?
Florida. And okay. Philly.
Right, okay. So against Winnipeg, the Sharks are going to win. Against Philadelphia, the Sharks are going to lose. Against Florida, Sharks are going to win in overtime. Against Tampa, do I really have to tell you that? Like, really? If the Sharks win, it's because the entire Tampa Bay defense has been hit by a bus. And I'm speaking as a Sharks fan. I'm wearing a teal wig right now. Okay, you guys, I'm surrounded by teal, and I love the Sharks. There's no way they're beating Tampa.
Oh, jeez. Okay, Hockey Jerk versus the Jets at Flyers, at Panthers, at Lightning.
Winnipeg Jets. The Sharks are going to lose 4-2, because, like they said, the Winnipeg Jets are actually good this year, and I don't want to
feel good.
I don't want to hurt myself too much, but I kind of called that one. So I'll just give myself
Arizona,
a light pat on the back, home and home.
Arizona.
So 4-2 loss to the Jets, 3-1 win versus the Flyers, 3-1 win versus the Panthers, 5-3 loss versus Tampa Bay.
Oh, you're adorable. You think the Sharks are going to put up 3 against Tampa. I'm kind of in the same boat there with you. I'm just playing the odds at this point. 2-2. The lose to Winnipeg, win Philly, win Florida, lose to Tampa. Although it wouldn't shock the hell out of me if any of those games went to overtime. I mean, we did just see the Sharks should have had a 5-4 victory, or at least 5-4, about 10 minutes left in the third against Vegas, number one team in the Pacific. So we'll see what happens. Stranger things have, in fact, happened. So I think we're all feeling the same vibes at this point. So Want to finish this show off by telling everybody, I hope you guys all had a fantastic Thanksgiving and had the awesome turkey coma, which I think we all kind of look forward to. And hopefully all hit your football parlays and whatnot. So, Hockey Jerk, your final thought and where the people can find you on the social media platforms.
If this team does not start scoring goals,
they will lose games.
They are going to start slipping in the standings, and it's going to get to a point where the deficit is going to be insurmountable. And then it's going to be like 3 years ago when the Sharks missed the playoffs and we all had to pretend like we gave a crap about other teams in the NHL playoffs. So Sharks, you're not better than you were last year, but you're still good. And if you can tighten up the bad parts of your games, I think you can at least make the playoffs, which you talk to some Sharks fans and making the playoffs is like winning the Stanley Cup. So, you know, we got to satisfy those guys. But other than that, I hope you both had a very excellent Thanksgiving. Of course, I'm thankful that you guys allow me to yell at you for 40 minutes to an hour once a week. And you can follow me on Twitter and nowhere else at @hockey_jerk.
Hey now. And of course, we go to you, Miss Rocket Backhander, for your final thoughts and where the people may find you.
My final thoughts. We've just rounded the quarter pole. Holy simoleons. It's not really looking real. What? It's not looking real good for the Sharks. It really isn't. It's not looking amazing, but it's also not looking great. And I was thinking about this kind of earlier, about how this is a really boring team to watch now. Like, it's just boring. So maybe some scoring would counteract the boring for this team. Do that with what you will. My name is Rocket Backhander. You can follow me on the Twitter machine. It's capital R, capital B, little Ackhander 76. I talk a lot about hockey. I complain about Bridgestone Arena a lot. And I complain about Predators fans a lot, and generally just living in Nashville. Or you can check me out on Instagram, Rocket Backhander, one word. You know, I take pictures of stuff here in Nashville and complain about stuff and wear a lot of teal, a lot of teal.
Well, my final thought is this is put up or shut up time for the Sharks. We're quarter pole in. Make it fake it till you make it, boys. I mean, just get in there and do something already. And if you just continue to be one of the worst teams 5-on-5 on the power play, I mean, yeah, your PK can be great, but if you're not scoring, it's not going to make too much of a difference. So, as they say in the draft, you're on the clock. So get it together or decide to look towards the future. I think I also need to do my final thought as hashtag here's your bird, since it was Thanksgiving. And when it comes to being thankful, I am thankful for Hockey Jerk coming on here and displaying his insane knowledge and history. The guy has got the memory. It cracks like a whip some days. It actually shocks me. And Rocket, between her eyebrows, cheekbones, and collarbone, it's hard to pick a fave. But she pulls it off swimmingly.
You should see my wishbone.
Hey now! And given us the kind of what for from Nashville and making that that awesome transition from San Jose to Tennessee. So you guys, and hopefully you enjoyed the show. So subscribe to us, if you please. SoundCloud, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, TuneIn, Radio. For everything Pucknologist, follow us on Twitter @Pucknologist. Do us a favor. Follow @TealTownUSA. Check out the website, TealTownUSA.com. I'm AJ Strong, AJ_Strong on Twitter and the Instagram machine. We will see you all next time for episode 33. Can either of you name a significant 33 from the Sharks? Because you know what? I can't.